Amen. If you grab your Bibles, we're going to be going to a familiar passage of Scripture. You'll stand to your feet for the reading of the Word. We're going to be going to the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 6 through 9. If you have it, say amen. If you're going to look at it on the screen, say amen. Ooh, that one was a little bit stronger than that first one. It said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, notice, now King David, the brother was balling. He had money. But he lowered himself down. He took away all his titles and his status, and he said, this poor man. So that tells me that you don't have to be rich to praise God. You know, because some people say, well, whenever I'm going to get that email notification that my taxes is in my account, then I'm going to praise God. No, you got to praise him in advance while you're still poor. Y'all playing. I want my taxes before they build that wall. Y'all can play around if y'all want to. I'm going to take a trip to Washington. Y'all coming with me? Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse 8 says, and I want you to read it with me. You can put verse 8 up there for me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. I want you to read it again. Read it with me again. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Verse 9 says, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now, let's go back up to verse 8, and I want you to read it again. Now, listen, do y'all notice something? That almost every song we sang this morning has something about the goodness of the Lord in it? And usually, Sister Pam would tell me, hey, Pastor, these are the songs we got going on for Sunday. And, you know, you got any, you know, and sometimes, I put my message around what, you know, the songs. But this morning, we didn't even talk about the songs. And every song that she chose went right along with the message. Amen. I want you to read verse 8 again and read it like you mean it. Y'all ready? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts him. I want to talk to you for a few minutes by the help and grace of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that he is good. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, taste and see that he is good. Hey, man, you may be seated in this place. We can all agree that at one point or another in our lives, we have been asked to try something. Anybody been there? When you go to any restaurant, most times they will tell you what is really good on the menu. Now, if you're like me, you know, who sometimes analyzes things, I think they really tell you what the big ticket items are so their tip can be a little bit bigger. Oh, y'all didn't come to talk to me this morning. But if you're like me, I usually ask the server, well, have you tasted it? You know, you can tell me about what the good items are, but my question to you is, have you tried it for yourself? And so usually if they begin to stutter or begin the conversation with, well, there's a strong possibility that Reggie Hills will not be trying it. Now, the worst part of that whole situation is they try to convince you of trying something that they have not tried for themselves. Now, I can't get ecstatic or enthusiastic about what you're trying to sell to me if you have not experienced it for yourself. In a sense, people will try to tell you what is good for you even when they don't have no business telling you nothing. And so you can't tell me that I need to invest $50 into a steak if you've never eaten steak before in your life. You can't tell me that I need to try this amazing dessert if you've never been amazed by it yourself. You can't tell me that the frog legs at Frog City Cafe right here in Rain is good if you ain't tried it for yourself. Now, besides, let me go ahead and throw this in there. I'm not going to never know whether they're good or not because I'm not trying to admit the devil is a lie. Now, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes if you do eat frog legs. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that you can't bring me somewhere that you have never been before. See, you can't tell me how to invest and apply myself to something if you have not invested and applied yourself to it. You can't tell me how to live a holy life if you yourself not living holy. You can't tell me how to stay away from evil and to abstain from sin if your life is full of evil and it's full of sin. See, you got to stop trying to present yourself to be something that you're not. See, anybody can say I'm a Christian, but can you live like a Christian? See, listen, it don't matter how long I stand in my garage at my house. And I can think it and I can believe it, but when I open my eyes and when that garage don't open, I'm still not going to be a Lamborghini. I can go sit down at McDonald's 24/7, 365, and sometimes twice on Easter. But no matter how long I sit in there, I will not leave out of there looking like a double whopper with cheese and hold the pickles. See, you can't be my doctor if you ain't went through doctor training. Listen, one of the worst things you can hear a doctor say is when you get in there and he say, oops. Well, that's not getting where we live. Let me say this. When you go to the beauty shop or the barber shop and you hear your barber say or your beautician say, oops, y'all already know what time it is. Either you done been gassed in the back or your head been burned off. Y'all didn't come to talk to me this morning. See, you can't be my cook if you've never cooked before. Listen, I have never tasted slop. I have never eaten slop, and I don't plan on eating slop. So if you can't cook and your food looks like slop, then I don't want it. Y'all try to act like we can't say the word slop in church. If you're getting convicted, check your dish. Y'all laughing too much in church. Y'all got to cut all that out. See, I can't tell an artist how to draw a perfect face because I have never went to drawing school. I can't tell a lawyer how to be prolific because I don't know all the lingo that they use when they're being sleazy and trying to go underneath the line. But what I can tell you, and this one thing that I do know, is that I have tasted of the goodness of the Lord, and I know that he's all right. Now, like your pastor would have done, I know he's all right. So that reminds me of those times when I was in need. I have found them to be bread when I was hungry and faint. I have found them to be water when I was thirsty and worn out. I have found them to be a rock when I was weak and weary. I have found him to be a shelter in the midst of the storm. All taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Somebody give God a hand of praise in his house. See, once you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, he is the only one who is worthy. He is the only one who cares for me even when I don't care for myself. He is the only one who can love me even when nobody else wants to love me. He is the only one who can deliver me when everybody wants to hold me captive. He is the one who protects me. I wonder if you can taste and see that the Lord, somebody say it. Come on, you got to say it like you mean. Oh, that the Lord. Give God praise in this house. See, he's been good in every situation, in the good times and in the bad times, my good days and my bad days, before, during, and even after trials, under every circumstance and through every temptation, I wonder if you would taste and see that the Lord, he is good. He's good on the mountaintop and he's good down in the valley low. He's good during the bright days and he's good during the dark nights. And in sickness and difficulties, I wonder if you would just taste and see that the Lord, somebody say it. See, even the times when you thought you was going to lose your mind, he was still good. Even the times when I failed him and I didn't do like I was supposed to do, I didn't say what I was supposed to say, I didn't act the way I was supposed to act, but even still in that time, God was still good. See, he isn't just good. He is better than good. One psalmist even said he is good. So that means however you say it, however you, when you think about the word good and when you think about the word God or the man God, I'm telling you, however you put it in your mind, there ought to be something that takes place down in the depths of your soul that says, it does not matter what I'm going through, but God, you are still good. You ever wonder why it seems that you're searching to feel that emptiness in your heart? Seems like you have tried everything and nothing seems to satisfy those cravings. Some people try to fill it up with alcohol, and some people try to fill it with drugs, and others fill it with romantic relationships and try to fill it with wealth and fame. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you could ever just get a taste of the goodness of Jesus, the longings of your soul would be satisfied, because he fills us up with things that can't be bought or sold down here on this earth. See, Psalms 107 verse 9 says that God can satisfy the longing soul and he gonna fill the hungry soul with goodness. Let me read it again. He satisfied the longing soul and he filled the hungry soul with goodness. You've just got to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because God said if you would hunger and thirst after it, you will be filled. If you would ever get your fill of Jesus, if you would ever get your fill on the things of God, and I'm talking about the F-I-L-L, because see, God don't work on a F-E-E-L. He works on a F-I-L-L system. Because see, our F-E-E-L-I-N-G sometimes gets us in trouble. Because if we're moving on our feelings, and you know how it was back in the day whenever you were still smooth, I'ma mess with him, because man, y'all, and it, before the Lord got a hold of this boy, when I say Casanova, this brother was smooth. And so he, you don't mind me preaching on you a little bit. Well, I'm the pastor, so I'm going to preach anyway. But I'm telling you, this brother knew just what to say, and you know, get the ladies all in their feelings. And that's the past. And so he knew just what to say. And sometimes people would get into their feelings. You know, today we use the terminology, get out your feelings. You know, come on, get out your feelings. But do you know that sometimes when we come into the kingdom or the house of God, we serving God based on our feelings? We serving him based on our F-E-E-L instead of our F-I-L-L. Because a F-E-E-L will only last for so long. But a F-I-L-L is going to be the thing that's going to bring you home. See, you just got to get to the table where he's serving the bread of life. And you got to let him serve you a cup that will never run dry. A cup that he said is going to be filled with life and life everlasting. See, when you get into God's presence, it's almost like bringing you back to the time when you was a child and you're sitting in the kitchen and you're watching grandma prepare a meal. She always had conversation going with you and wanted to know all about you and what's going on in your life. Anybody, grandma, ever did that? Grandma always want to figure out what's going on with your life. Well, baby, who you dating these days? And how you doing in school? And where you working? And, you know, that's the things that grandma would do while she's cooking. And so the whole time that she was talking to you, her hands would be busy cutting, chopping, slicing, and stirring. Her hands were busy the whole time you were in the kitchen. And so the reason for that was to prepare a meal that would satisfy your hunger pains. And so as grandma would begin to fry down and stir, the aroma would begin to fill the kitchen. Now, some of y'all checking out on me because you're hungry. Come on back to me. Come on back to me. But you couldn't help but notice how good the aroma was, you know. But no matter how good the aroma was, it did nothing for your appetite, and nor did it satisfy your hunger. And so now, if your grandma was like mine, she would stir that pot real good, and then she would take that spoon, and she would dip just a little bit of gravy in, and she would taste that, and she would kind of smile, and she would kind of, you know, running around on her tongue a little bit, and she would go to the sink, and she would rinse that spoon off, and go to the seasoning, and put a little bit more seasoning in there, and stir that pot up a little, and she would just set the spoon down, and so, almost like she knew what she was doing. All right? And so, but once that meal was completed, she would then fix a plate, and she would sit back and sit back smiling, knowing I did that. You know how kind of how some of y'all, after y'all finish cooking and everybody got, you know, that sauce all on the side of their mouth and everything, and, you know, especially if they're eating them turkey necks and that juice dripping out your arm, it's like, yeah, I did that. I did that. See, listen, and you can't tell me that you eat turkey necks if you ain't never had that juice running out the side of your arm. Let me come on back. It's close to lunchtime, so let me. But my daddy would come, and my daddy would sit, and my daddy was there, my daddy would look at us and say, but we'd be eating that food up real fast. And my daddy would say, boy, you better stop eating that food fast like that. You acting like this is your last supper. Well, with 14 of us in the house, sometimes that might have been your last supper. You didn't know. It was like first come, first serve, and all others get the burnt crust at the bottom of the pot. Y'all, listen, you got to put a little bit of water in that pot and put the fire back on and, you know, chopping the meat up a little bit to get a little gravy out of that meat. Y'all, see, y'all ain't never been through the struggle. Y'all, listen, we can't even have this conversation. But the thing about it is that once you would eat, or once grandma's food was finished, you still couldn't say it was good because you hadn't tried it yet. Now, grandma knows it's good. And you can say, I know the food is good, grandma. But until you sit down and have that plate in front of you, there is no way indeed for you to know if it's good or not, amen? But even after you've tasted it to know that it was good, it could still only satisfy you for just a little while. And do you know that is the same way that some of us treat God? We can get into the presence of God and, you know, we feel the goosebumps and we feel the chills run up and down our spine and we may even feel a tear swell up in our eyes. But can I tell you that those are just the aroma effects of the presence of God? That's just the aroma effects, okay? And so the aroma can never feel the spiritual hunger pain in your life. It don't matter how long you sit inside of this church. If you're not eating what's served on the plate, then guess what? All you're doing is getting the F-E-E-L instead of the F-I-L-L. See, the aroma can only satisfy you temporarily, and you have to realize that you need to get the real meal of God served to you. You have to get to the point where you realize, I really am hungry to taste of the goodness of God. That's why Matthew 5 and 6 already said it, blessed are those who hunger, and blessed are those that thirst after righteousness. If you could only taste of God's goodness, and Galatians 5 and 22 tells us that you will get love, you will get joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If you could only get a taste of the bread of life according to John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. And if you eat this bread, you will hunger no more. If you could have a drink of the living water according to John 4:14, Jesus said, whoever drinks this water that I have is never going to thirst again. But you've got to taste and see. Now, David tried the Lord, And David said, I found him to be good. See, I can't tell you about how good Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors of ice cream is until I've tried it for myself. See, you not going to ever know. I see my cousins, another one of my cousins right there. You're not going to ever know how good Aunt Laura's sweet potatoes are until you've tried them for yourself. Now, I can tell you about it all day. Listen, you're not going to know how good Sister Renee red beans and rice is until you tried it. Sister Karen just turned away because she knew it was coming. You ain't going to know how good Sister Karen's fettuccine is until you done tried it. Can I get a few witnesses in the place? And I can't tell you that Sister Monica makes those good old premium. Listen, I'm telling y'all, she must get that chocolate that's imported in from France or something, because I'm telling you, if you've never tried her cake balls, you need to try it. I'm sorry, I done got y'all hungry. Let me get back on the word. But we see God's blessings time and time and time and time again. But until you have your own personal encounter with God, you'll never be able to taste just how good his blessings are. You've got to try him for yourself. See, because when you try God for yourself, you can say he has been better to me than I've ever been to myself. Even when I wasn't all that I should be, because I took the time to taste and see his goodness. That's why David said in Psalm 23 and 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If there is no other reason that you want to taste of the Lord, it ought to be for his mercy, and it ought to be for his goodness, and it ought to be for his grace. See, this is what comes along with the benefits of his goodness. See, when you're sick, you can still taste of his goodness. When you're down and in despair, you can taste of his upholding goodness. When you're broken down and you feel all alone, you can take your pieces and put you back together goodness. See, don't let the enemy tell you that God isn't good. See, if you have ever had God's goodness in the darkness of night, I want you to say amen. See, the Apostle Paul and David both spoke of having tasted of the goodness of the heavenly gift. Now, I'm getting ready to come to a close, but there are three basic types of classifications of Christians, I guess you want to call it that. There are those who hear without seeing. There are those who both hear and see without tasting. And then there are those who hear, who taste, and they see. David extended an open invitation for us to come and enjoy the Lord. He challenged people to taste and see that the Lord is good. Notice he didn't say that the Lord was good. He said that the Lord is good. See, he wanted them to taste the goodness of God because he wanted them to experience God firsthand. See, I can tell you all day about whatever it is, but until you get into it for yourself. See, David didn't say see and taste. David said taste and see. I'm going to say that again for the VIP section. He didn't say see and taste. He said taste and see. See, before we taste a substance, we generally like to look it over first. See, kind of like I do when somebody's offering me some chitlins and pig feet smothered in a tripe gravy. I ain't going to tell y'all, Sister Ellen, eat all that mess. The devil is a lie. Listen, I don't care if you pickle it. I don't care if you barbecue it. I don't care if you smother it. I don't care if it's scattered, covered, and smothered with cheese and everything else. I'm not trying that mess. In this case, tripe, the devil is a lie. In this case, as long as the Lord liveth, I'm gonna go back into the Bible days. As long as the Lord liveth, and as long as my soul liveth, I won't, I will not, and I shall not eat that mess. Who said it's good over here? Well, God bless you and all your arteries. But here David is saying that you got to taste and see. Because, you see, there must be an appreciation for divine things before you can see and enjoy the Lord. John 20 and 29 even records how Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. In other words, he was saying, blessed are those who taste even when they can't see. Blessed are those who stand up even when they don't feel strength. See, you better remember and understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that means everything moving and everything breathing in our world belongs to God. That even means that this battle is not yours, that it all belongs to the Lord. Give God praise in this place. See, you got to get out your feelings. And you got to walk up to that table that God has already prepared for you. David even said he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So do you know that when God sets the table, he's not going to bring it to you? People say, well, I'm just going to sit right here and I'm just going to wait on the Lord. Now, there are times when you got to wait on the Lord, but then there are other times that you got to go and meet the Lord. And so when my mama, there was a time that when she would cook, up until the age where we got old enough to fix our own food, my mama would pass by the room and say, baby, the food is ready. She ain't fixing no plates no more. So that tells me that once you have gotten to a certain level in your life with God, your relationship is at a certain degree with God, you got to stop waiting on people to serve you, and you got to get up and you got to get your own self to the table. See, because at the table of God, there is peace. At his table, there is joy. At his table, there is deliverance. At his table, he begins to bear burdens. At his table, he feels the lowly at heart. And at his table, he mends broken lives. At his table, he's serving strength in the morning, gladness in the noonday, and comfort late in the midnight hour. Have you tried Jesus for yourself? See, once you try God for yourself, it doesn't matter what comes, but you can still say, he's my joy, even in sorrow. He's my hope for tomorrow. His love surrounds me like no other love. I've tried him, and I found him to be a friend when I was friendless, a mother when I was motherless, a father when I was fatherless. I've tried him. Oh, yes, I've tried him. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you tried him? Have you tried him? See, if you tried him and you know he's all right, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing the devil can throw at you. There ain't nothing that this world can offer you, because when you know that God's all right, I'm telling you, there's like a boldness that comes over you that says, come hell or high water, devil, I see you, and you better not come at me sideways, because I serve a God that said, try me and see if I won't do it. See, you got to trust him, and you got to follow him, and you got to forget the things that's in the past. You know, sometimes the reason why we can't see God's goodness is because we hold on to too much things from the past. See, you don't have to hold your baggage forever. You don't have to carry your baggage, because when God says that I will, he meant that. When he said, cast your cares upon me, in other words, he said, cast your baggage upon me and let me carry that for you. He meant that. But the reason why we can't taste and see of God's goodness because we want to hold on to it. There are some places that God's going to bring us. I'm telling you, I'm speaking it, and I feel like this is straight from the mouth of God, that if we don't learn how to release ourselves from some extra baggage, we're going to stay in the same place in the same time, and we're going to be wondering why God has been good to everybody else, and it seems like we're still waiting on our golden ticket. You got to look at your neighbor and say, I release you. Come on to the piano, sister. You got to tell somebody else, I release you. You got to leave those things behind. And you got to press on to the things that are ahead. Because see, there is no want to them that fear the Lord. My brothers and sisters, you've got to taste of the goodness for yourself. See, I can stand up here all morning, and I was going to say until I lost my voice, but I did already. That's why I'm talking to you, Lord. But I can tell you about how good God can be. But until you get up from where you are and you sit down at the table, you won't be able to taste of the goodness. See, it don't, and see, but some of us sometimes, when we get up and we walk down to the table, we just sit. We just sit at the table. But you know, you've got to, the things that are on the table of God, you've got to put a plate for yourself. God said, I got all these things for you. Peace, love, joy, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith. I got all these things for you. But you got to go get it yourself. It's on my table. I promised it to you. It's there. But you, everybody point to yourself. You got to put it on your own plate. And one thing that you got to understand is that when you're sitting down at the table of God, you can't look to see what your brother got on his plate. You can't look and see what your sister got on her plate. Because it does not matter how much they got on their plate, it's still not going to satisfy you. You got to get your own meal. You got to get your own plate. And you got to taste. And you got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Won't you stand to your feet in this place this morning? I don't know who needed this message this morning. Might have to do a part two. I didn't get through all my notes. I got so many sermons I got to do part twos on. Y'all not going to remember. So I just have to preach it all over again and tell y'all again I'm going to do a part two. But I don't know who needed to hear that this morning. But there is so much that God wants to do in the lives of his people. You've heard it this morning from our music director and from Sister Joyce. We're not talking about something that happened years ago and they're testifying about it today. We're talking about something that God just did. And I believe that's not even the tip of the iceberg. If we, Sanctuary, could ever grasp the goodness of God, if we could ever just get a good old tasting. Like that song Tasha Cobb sings, fill me up until I overflow. She didn't say F-E-E-L me until I overflow. F-I-L-L me until I overflow. Because when the power of God is overflowing in your life, I'm telling you, there is nothing that God won't do for you. Now, I've preached, I've set the table. The table has been set. My question to you is, will you come and get what you need off the table. This altar is open.